Palestinians, including a child. The army also kidnapped 3 children in occupied East Jerusalem. And that's all for today from the IMEMC News. This was the Monday, November 17th, 2014 news roundup from the occupied Palestinian territories. For more news and updates, please visit our website at www.imemc.org. Today's report has been brought to you by George Shmawi and me, Ghassan Bannoura.
You're listening to the KBOO Evening News. This is a volunteer-produced newscast, and we encourage your participation. Call us with your breaking news stories at 503-231-8032. Our production team for tonight's newscast is Don Zur, Dan Richardson, Ken Jones, Rosalind Scott, and Riley Tucker. Our engineer is Danielle Parks. The KBOO Evening News and Public Affairs Director is Janka Soderberg. A podcast of local stories from this newscast is available on our website at kboo.fm/eveningnews, or look for us on Twitter at KBOO News. If you'd like to call your elected representatives about any issue you've heard on the news tonight, here are the phone numbers, so get a pen. The local number for Senator Ron Wyden is 503-326-7525. The number for Senator Jeff Merkley is 503-326-3386. Oregon Governor Kitzhaber's number is 503-378-31111. Portland Mayor Charlie Hales can be reached at 503-823-4120. You're listening to KBOO Portland 90.7 FM, K282BH Philomath 104.3 FM, and K220HR Hood River 91.9 FM. I'm Ken Jones.
And I'm Rosalind Scott. Coming up tomorrow morning on KBOO, at 7, it's Democracy Now! With Amy Goodman and Juan Gonzalez. At 8 on the Abe and Joe Talk Radio Show, the topic is the Trans-Pacific Partnership. At 9 on Alternative Radio, journalist and author Naomi Klein speaks on capitalism versus the climate. At 10, Chris Andre hosts Air Cascadia, headlines, interviews, and commentary. At 10:15, it's Flashpoints, investigative news radio with host Dennis Bernstein. And at 11 on Stage and Studio, host DeMay Roberts presents May May, A Daughter's Song, to celebrate the 25th anniversary of her Peabody Award-winning documentary. Thanks, KBOO members, for your generous support for your community radio station. If you are not a member, you can become one by going to kboo.fm and clicking on Donate Today. Good night, Ken.
Good night, Rosalind. Good night, Danielle.
KBOO News in Depth, where we take a deeper look at the top news stories impacting our community.
Sixteen months ago, the city of Detroit went into bankruptcy. In an attempt to pay off creditors, the city of Detroit went under the control of an emergency financial manager. That manager took the place of elected officials, including the mayor and city council. In an alleged attempt to reach solvency, up to 40% of city residents have faced water shutoffs. This is being done in predominantly poor neighborhoods. Businesses and golf courses, who have much higher unpaid water bills, have not had their water shut off. As a result, volunteer groups like the Detroit Water Brigade and the Detroit Water Warriors formed to try to help bring drinking water and cooking water to residents. With freezing temperatures hitting the city of Detroit, they are also giving advice to homeowners on how to winterize their homes to prevent their water pipes from freezing. Many homes in Detroit have radiators and radiant heat systems, so no water means no heat. The Detroit Water Brigade is also distributing coats, warm clothing, and blankets in an effort to help people stay in their homes. For more, KBOO's Rosalind Scott spoke with a representative of the Detroit Water Brigade, who will be appearing on Jon Stewart's The Daily Show on Comedy Central tonight.
Who is authorizing the water shutoffs in Detroit?
Right now, the water shutoffs are being authorized by the mayor. The mayor has control of the water department. When the shutoffs were first announced in May, the massive shutoff program was first announced in May, that was a decision made by Kevin Orr, who is the emergency manager appointed by Rick Snyder, our governor. And he was appointed into that position as the emergency manager against the vote of the city of Detroit. We did not vote him in. We voted no on having an emergency manager. And after the vote, Governor Snyder, after the vote, basically vetoed our vote or went against our vote and put Orr into office. So over the summer, Orr was in charge. Once we applied pressure, we did a blockade of the company that was shutting off people's water. We had people arrested from our group. We did a lot of demonstrations, really putting a lot of pressure on the city. And once we did that, Orr finally gave the water department jurisdiction back over to the people, back over to the mayor. So right now, the mayor is in charge, and he is continuing to authorize the shutoff.
Now, are these shutoffs being handled equally across town? I mean, I understand there are some businesses that have huge bills. They're not being affected. So who seems to be the target of these water shutoffs?
Well, right now, it's become pretty clear that Detroit's impoverished community, the poorest members of the community, are the ones who are hardest hit in this massive shutoff. Some of the major attractions for the city of Detroit, such as the Detroit Tiger Stadium, Joe Louis Arena, where the Detroit Red Wings play, the Eastern Market, which is the largest farmers market in the country, and Palmer Park Golf Course, which is a very popular and famous golf course nationally. They all owe hundreds of thousands of dollars. And actually, the golf course, their bill is in the millions. And so they, of course, are still keeping their service on. They're still getting water. They're still able to flush their toilet. They're still able to cook, you know, and wash their hands and do these different things. But if you're a resident and you owe $150 or more on your water bill and you have not paid, your water is subject to be disconnected. And they've been doing it across the board, you know, across the city. The last reported number was 17,000 families. Of course, that doesn't mean 17,000 individuals. We're talking about children. We're talking about elderly. You know, we're talking about the whole gamut. And the numbers are, they're really hard to report because the water department and the city are not being compliant. They're not even being forced to since the bankruptcy and the federal judge Rhodes basically said that he had no jurisdiction over this. That pretty much gave the city a green light to keep doing what they're doing, to hide a lot of things, to not really expose, you know, what the numbers are. So we don't have an exact number. It's definitely an estimate. But the last number that I received was 17,000 families are being affected or more.
I would imagine that if you've been having actions and protests, have you directly asked the mayor why the large companies are not being charged for the water where the residents are?
That question has been asked, of course, in the beginning stages of this crisis. We have been asking that question. The responses that we've gotten have not been sufficient. One of the responses I remember in the beginning of this was that these bigger corporations or businesses have been paying. They basically just totally denounced the allegation and said, oh, no, they have been paying. You know, they have paid their bill. But there's no documented proof or evidence of that. The biggest reason the city has been given for why they're shutting off poor people, why they're shutting off low-income families, and that's because, and according to them, it's, you know, documented record what I'm about to say, but they said things like, because these people need to stop paying for cable, their water bill. These people need to stop, you know, paying for cell phones and pay their water bill. You know, it's been a huge class across the board, you know, of the higher income families or higher income individuals fighting against those that are lower income and basically telling them how they should spend their money. This is why the water is getting cut off, because poor people are not paying. They're not paying on time. Crack the whip, or we have to really, you know, tighten the reins when it comes to poor people not paying their water bills. This is the responses that the city has been giving.
What do you think is their ultimate goal for cutting off the water?
Quite honestly, I couldn't say. Being a part of this for the past 5 or 6 months, you know, there's been so many reasons why they say, you know, they're shutting off water. I mean, it's pretty obvious, you know, even a child can see, you know, I've discussed this with my children, and they've even said, you know, why would you cut someone off from water? You know, why can't those who have money just help those that don't? Or why can't we come up with a system so that everyone can get water? We can do that. And I look at them and I say, you know what, I feel the same way. I feel like, why are we not, you know, coming up with some resolutions? The why that the city has given is, like I said before, they want to pay off their debt to Wall Street. You know, they have a huge debt to Wall Street that they've incurred from borrowing money over the years to supposedly fix Detroit's water structure, the infrastructure, and they haven't done it. Now Wall Street wants their money. So it's either pay up or, you know, who knows what the consequences will be. So this bankruptcy was fueling a lot of the decisions that were being made by the water department. One of them being, you know, let's start shutting people off. Let's start, you know, acting like we really care and show this demonstration of strength. And it's all on the, you know, it was all on the precursor of the bankruptcy. And I think that they really expected to come out more on top with the water shutoffs in relationship to the bankruptcy. And when Judge Rose took a week to review testimony and to gather information about the water shutoff crisis and what's really happening, and after a week of deliberation, comes back and says that he has no jurisdiction over this. He has no right to make a judgment. So the why is still in question. I mean, if you ask those that are most affected, the why is pretty simple, because they want control of the city. You know, they want control of certain areas and certain properties, and they want to pretty much save face. Because if I borrowed a lot of money from Wall Street, and, you know, I borrowed a loan out and I didn't pay or do what I was supposed to do, and now I have to pay up, I don't want to admit, you know, most people don't want to admit, okay, I messed this up, especially a municipality like Detroit. They're not going to admit, oh, we blew this money on corruption, even though so many people are now in behind bars because of the city's corruption. They don't want to admit that's where this money has gone. You understand? So the easiest thing to do is to what? Pick on the little people, pick on the weakest link, so to speak, you know? And really, it's not even about that. It's the numbers in black and white are pretty much clear of what it's about.
Well, are people starting to move out of the city as the water is being turned off?
There's been many reasons why people have left the city. People getting their water turned off, I wouldn't know the percentage of how many people are leaving because of that, but the city itself has already taken a huge hit of people leaving. The city used to be over 2 million in capacity, and now it's less than 600,000. The city has definitely shrunk, contracted in a lot of ways, and so as these water shutoffs happen and certain areas are targeted, yeah, those people, a lot of them are deciding, you know what, it's not even worth staying in Detroit. You know, I'll just go ahead and leave. I won't even try to fight for my property or fight for my home or fight for the water or anything. I'm just ready to go. You know, people are burned out.
Are foreclosures up in Detroit? Are people abandoning properties? Are they being foreclosed on?
I'm not really sure what those numbers are, because that's not really my focus in the movement. But I can tell you that there's still thousands upon thousands of vacant homes here in the city. The blight is still very real. The neighborhoods are still very much dilapidated. You know, a lot of things are not happening in the actual neighborhoods themselves. There is a little bit of activity, but not enough to really be able to say, whoa, this is a major impact. So as far as how much of that is foreclosures, how much of that is just, you know, people abandoning, I don't know. But what I do know is that the city has definitely shrunk, and the blight and the abandoned homes are still very much, very much prominent. The other thing, too, is we've just had an auction. We have an auction every year, and actually they have them every day now. But the major county auction was just held in September, and a lot of properties were sold off. The city has decided to bundle up a lot of the abandoned homes, maybe 20 properties or 30 or 100 properties at a time, that an investor can buy. So now you have people from outside of the city buying up entire neighborhoods of the city. It really is a true game of monopoly.
Well, we understand also there was an article in the New York Times saying that Dan Gilbert, who's the owner of Quicken Loans, and he's one of the world's richest men, is buying up a lot of the properties predominantly in the downtown area, and that he's mm-hmm. getting them at a bargain price.
Yes.
What are his plans? Does anyone know, or is he just getting a good deal for right now?
No one really knows a lot of what he's doing. He's not being very transparent about it. From what I understand, I haven't heard any great buzz about some wonderful things that he's going to present. All I know for the most part is that he is buying up a lot of property, a lot of real estate along the river. I've also heard things like he has privatized our fire department, he's privatized our police department. He's a huge investor in the privatization of our water and of our entire city. So I don't know him personally. I don't know his background or a whole lot about him, but these are the things that are being said about him in the city. You know, it's definitely going to be interesting to see what he does with it.
Are you aware of any other Michigan cities that are going through this, that are experiencing the same kind of situation, especially with the water cutoff?
Oh, yes. The surrounding suburban areas. There's surrounding towns around Detroit, Flint, Inkster, Ypsilanti. These small towns were once thriving pulses, you know, and thriving towns in Michigan, and they're just outside of Detroit. And these towns, along with others, were assigned emergency managers, and in doing so, have really deteriorated in a lot of ways. And so now these cities are facing major shutoff crises. We've been in discussion about how to expand the brigade's reach, because Flint, especially Flint, Inkster, those two cities especially have really been getting hit hard with water shutoffs. And of course, those are impoverished towns. Those are towns where people, it used to be a working town. They had factories there. You know, they had a good workflow going.